Good morning. Good morning. Just see everybody here today. Let's start off with a prayer and just pray that everybody's here. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you this day. God, we just thank you everybody for being here. The ones not here, we hope they not going on, but we couldn't make it. We just keep them in prayer today. And we just ask each one of us, Mr. God had blessed us so much that we do God's work. We leave here this day. Go out and invite people to come to church, tell them about God. I always tell them, you know, we got an empty seat here for them. And the more we hold time and do more God's work, the more he don't bless us, and the more we don't get along with each other, be united more. As we leave here, you'll invite me any help and anything, you know, God wants us all to be happy. And God don't want nobody to be sadness and heartbroken and all that. You feel like you need something to this altar today and kneel in prayer, God will be heard and God will be with you always. In your holy name we pray, amen. Let's take a couple of minutes and greet everybody, pat everybody on the back and so that be above.
I had it wrote down to announce, so I just want to make sure I don't want to ruin the surprise.
Yeah, it is not a surprise. And your wife thought it was today.
Well, I did too. That's why I thought it was today, because I thought we got to make something.
Did you made the announcement.
I thought it was the 11th, or 12th, and I can't. My brain don't work.
You don't pay attention to you when you make the announcement.
I don't. I don't listen to anybody, let alone myself.
So where does the
choir? Where the choir usually sings.
Yeah, okay. So that's where the children's message.
You just jump right on up there.
All right.
Hi, girls.
All right, I hate to break up the party, but I am so glad to see everybody today. Welcome to Crestview Baptist Church. Thank you for choosing to come worship with us today. If you are a guest or a visitor with us for the first time, we'd love to get to know a little bit more about you. There are some cards in the pews that you can fill out and drop in the offering plate. Or if you've never filled one out before and you've been here, visited a couple times, and you never filled one out, feel free to drop that in there just so we can get to know you a little bit better. Don't forget about our weekly services Wednesday night. Our play practice starts at 5:30. The kids will eat after that at about 6:15, and then we move into we break up into our groups and do our lessons for the night. Not this Wednesday, but next Wednesday, we will, after play practice and after supper, we will not have Bible study. What we're going to be doing is we're going to be packing shoe boxes for Samaritan's Purse. So mark that on your calendar. That's Wednesday the 22nd. Keep that in mind. The adults will be meeting in here at 6:30. They have started a Bible study on Revelation. So come on out to that. It's a good time to be in God's Word and to see what's happened and what's going to happen. So that is a good time. Come out for that. A couple of announcements. Next Sunday after church, we're going to be having a pastor appreciation meal. So bring a side, steaks, pork chops, chicken, whatever, chocolate pound cake, whatever you want to bring, whatever you'd like to bring it out to share with the congregation, as right after service, we have a fellowship and pastor appreciation lunch. That is always a good time. Someone came and asked me about trunk or treat. The way we are going to do trunk or treat this year is on Wednesday the 29th, we're going to have a small trunk or treat for our kids that are here on Wednesday night. So if you want to come out and set up a trunk for that, think about that. If you want to donate candy, bring it and drop it off. I'll make sure it gets there, gets where it needs to be. And so that's going to be our trunk or treat, but that's not our fall festival. Our fall festival is November the 8th. And I will have some stuff finalized and a set times in there finalized next week. I got a time I'm looking at, but I want to make sure it's good with everybody. I'm working on getting us some entertainment, and it's not just going to be me dancing. I'm not saying I'm not going to be dancing, but I'm working on getting us somebody to come play us some music. We're going to have some games and just some fun and fellowship for kids and adults all alike. So keep that on your schedule. That's Saturday, November the 8th. I don't think there's any announcements unless y'all got anything. At this time, I'll turn it over to Pastor Don. He's going to open us up in prayer this morning, and we will just invite you to join with us as we worship the Lord together.
Yes.
Oh, yes. Tara's back. Hey, Tara. We are, so she's back, and she will resume our ASL classes this Wednesday at 5:30. So if you want to come to that, come on out for that. It's a good time to learn American Sign Language. It's also a good time to just fellowship together. So keep that on your calendar too as well. Sorry, Miles and Terry, how about forgot?
Good morning. I hope everyone is doing well. Fall seems to have fallen. Hopefully it's not one of those false falls and then turn to be 90 degrees next week. So I invite you to come on Wednesday nights as we have our prayer meeting. We do go through the list and pray for every name on the prayer list. And so we invite you, you receive that as part of your bulletin. Whether you come on Wednesday or if you just want to do it privately at home, please remember those in prayer that are listed there. Would you join me as we pray? Lord, we come to you and we thank you and praise you for the ways in which you work in our lives. We offer this service to you as a gift from us, as we praise your name, as we dedicate ourselves anew to your service, and as we look to explore the Word of God, both through song, through the sermon, and in every other aspect of the service. Pray that you'd be able to guide us ever closer to you. And again, may you receive all honor and glory from this service as we give ourselves anew with gratitude in Jesus' name. Amen.
Scripture tells us that God is our refuge and that underneath are his everlasting arms. So let us stand and sing hymn 333, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. 333.
What a fellowship, what a joy divine, leaning on the everlasting arms. What have I to fear? What a bliss is mine, leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning on Jesus, leaning on Jesus, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning on Jesus, leaning on Jesus, leaning on the everlasting arms. What have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on the everlasting arms. Why have blessed peace with my Lord so near? Leaning on the everlasting arms. Leaning on Jesus, leaning on Jesus, safe and secure from all alarms. Leaning on Jesus. Jesus, leaning on Jesus, leaning on the everlasting arms.
Amen. Thank you. We will continue to worship by giving of our gifts, tithes, and offerings. Father, thank you so much for the opportunity to give back to you. We pray your blessings upon this gift and the giver. For it is your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. People have said that the book of Revelation scares them. They don't even want to read it because they think it's so scary. But for the Christian, we have nothing to fear. We have that assurance that Jesus is our Lord and our Savior. So that is something to sing about, that we have nothing to be afraid of, because as a Christian, we know how the story ends. Jesus is the conqueror. So would you stand as we sing, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine, 334.
Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine, heir of salvation, purchased of God, washed in his spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with his goodness, lost in his love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
Sermon that would like to come. All right, guys, I am glad to see everybody today. Everybody looks like they have lots of energy. Roof, and I'm being barked at, so hey, I don't know. It is a wonderful Sunday morning, and I'm glad to be here with you guys. I have a question. Who in here has ever had a problem they couldn't solve? All right, I think we all have. Has everybody out there had a problem they couldn't solve before? I think so. So what do you do when you have a problem, kids? What do? You ask your parents, right? Well, okay, don't get ahead of me there. But hey, don't do my job for me now. We come to our parents. Maybe it's a small problem, like you can't reach the cereal on top of the refrigerator. Or maybe it's a bigger problem, like you're having problems with your math homework. And if you're like me, your parents might be having problems with it too. But hey, that's okay. Now, today, Pastor Don, when we go out to Children's Church, Pastor Don's going to be talking about some people who were having some problems and they needed some help. Well, they did like John Carlos said. They went to their Heavenly Father and they asked for help. Sometimes our parents can solve our problems for us. Well, sometimes it's a problem that we feel like nobody has an answer to. But there is one person who is always there, ready to listen to us when we have a problem. And that's right, John Carlo. That person is God, our Heavenly Father. He always wants us to reach out to Him when we have a problem. Now, does He just want you to reach out and talk to Him when you have a problem? Is that the only time He wants to hear from you? No, He wants to hear from you every day. But He especially wants to hear from you when you have a problem. I'm going to read with you a Bible verse this morning from the book of Psalms. And it says, this is Psalms 121, and it's starting with verse 1. It says, I will lift my eyes to the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help come from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. So, just those two verses I want you to think about. If God created the heavens and the earth, is there any problem too big for Him? No. But now I have another question. When you talk to God, is He always going to give you the kind of help you think you want? No, He gives you the help that you need. And sometimes the help we think we want is not the help that we need from God. And sometimes God's plan is bigger than who we are. I always like to go back and think about Jesus right before He was arrested. He was praying in the garden and He knew what was about to happen. He knew that He was fixing to lay His life down. And He was more than willing to do it. But He prayed to God about the whole situation and said, if there's any other way, God, but it's not what I want to be done, it's what You want to be done. So when we pray to God about our questions, we have to remember God's will, what God wants, and what God's going to see happen is bigger than each and every one of us. And we always have to put Him first. We do. All right. So in a minute, we're going to pray. But we're going to do something else first. It's very few and far between that a birthday falls on, somebody's birthday here falls on a Sunday. Well, it just so happens that somebody's birthday is today. Yes. You got a question? You had your sister's birthday yesterday? So we are going to... So today is Mr. Noah's birthday. Stand up, Mr. Noah. He is 3 years old today, right? Oh. How old are you, Noah? He is 9 years old. And it would make Noah's day if we would sing to him. And you said it was your sister's birthday? Yesterday? All right. So we will sing to her too, okay? So let's everybody together... We're going to say happy birthday, God bless you. Yes. And after that, yes, you can pray. All right, so everybody together, everybody out there, help me. I guess I'll start us all. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, God bless you. Happy birthday to you. And Noah wanted to be sure that he told everybody thank you because he got his birthday card in the mail and he was super excited about it. All right, so John Carlos wants to close us in prayer today, and I'm going to let John Carlos do that.
Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to have this nice place and having all these people coming to learn about God and Jesus. In God's name we pray, amen.
Amen. Good job, John Carlos. I like it.
My heart, my soul, my mind, my words, my deeds, my life. Everything within me worships you. Everything within me worships you. With every breath I take, as long as I shall live, everything within me worships you. 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 Fairest Lord Jesus, ruler of all nations, and man, the Son. Everything within me worships you. Everything within me worships you.
Thank you, Robin. If you are coming out to our Bible study, we're at starting with chapter 2 of the book of Revelation, verse 12 is where we'll pick up next time. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verses 1 to 12. You can follow along in your Bible, or it's also printed in the bulletin if you'd like to follow along there. Beginning at verse 1 and reading through verse 12. After this, the Moabites and Ammonites, some of the Munites, came to make war on Jehoshaphat. Some men came and told Jehoshaphat, "A vast army is coming against you from Edom, from the other side of the sea. It is already at Hazon Tamar, that is, in Gedi." Alarmed, Jehoshaphat resolved to inquire of the Lord. And he proclaimed a fast for all of Judah. The people of Judah came together to seek help from the Lord. Indeed, they came from every town in Judah to seek him. Then Jehoshaphat stood up in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem at the temple of the Lord in the front of the new courtyard and said, "O Lord, God of our fathers, are you not the God who is in heaven? You rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. Power and might are in your hand, and no one can stand against you or withstand you. O our God, did you not drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and give it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend? They have not lived in it and have built a sanctuary for your name, saying, 'If calamity comes upon us, whether the sword of judgment or plague or famine, we will stand in your presence before this temple that bears your name, and will cry out to you in our distress, and you hear us and you save us.' But now here are men from Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, whose territory you would not allow Israel to invade when they came from Egypt. So they turned away from them and did not destroy them. See how they are repaying us by coming to drive us out of the possession you gave us as an inheritance. O our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power to face this vast army which is attacking us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are upon you." Would you join me as we pray? Lord, we pray that you open your word to allow our ears and our ears to experience what message you would like to hear from you this day. We pray that you guide our hearts, that you comfort those that are grieving this day, that you give strength to those who are weak and people that are going through a difficult time. Just remind them through this prayer of Jehoshaphat that there is hope. Lord, we offer this service to you in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Sometimes we feel like the world is against us. Sometimes situations are so bad they seem overwhelming. Sometimes we feel like we're being attacked on all sides and there's nowhere safe to be. This is what Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, experienced. Well, a little bit about Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat, back in chapter 18, is called to be a king, and things start out very well for him. He takes over from Asa, his father. And as Jehoshaphat, it says he stayed after the time of David, meaning he was faithful like David. He did not allow the Canaanite worship to be part of his rule. And so as he continued to do this, God blessed him. The scriptures tell us in chapter 18 that all the nations were afraid to attack Judah because they knew God was defending them. Then there came a prophecy against the northern kingdom, Ahab. Ahab was not one who followed after the days of David. He and his wife Jezebel allowed Canaanite worship. Jezebel goaded him into being able to openly practice Canaanite rituals. And so it led to a conflict between the prophet Elijah and Ahab, in which Elijah was able to call down, even after the altar had been doused in water, to be able to consume the offering. But after all of that, he then enters into Jehoshaphat, enters into a treaty with Ahab. Even after the prophets clearly have said that what Ahab is doing is not good. Well, things did not turn out well. Because he was ally with the northern kingdom of Israel, they ended up going into battle. And they were defeated by the Syrian army because they didn't trust in God, they trusted in political alliances. And now we find ourselves as the armies of Moab and Ammon are going to finish them off because they've already been weakened because they fought in this battle before. And now there is just a skeleton army, and this large army that they were not to attack earlier at God's instruction is the one that's moving toward them. So he's helpless, he's hopeless. It's a situation, there's nobody you can call to fix this. There's no 1-800 number to be able to figure this out. Only God could do something. And so we look at what are the responses of Jehoshaphat. How did Jehoshaphat handle this situation where things were so overwhelming and so difficult? The first thing we learn is he talked to God. Just like in the children's sermon. The first thing we do is talk to God. Yes, we could talk to parents if they're still living. But talking to God. Because if it's a problem, it's so big we can't solve it. Chances are our parents can't solve it either. And so the first thing is to recognize God is the only one that has a solution that I can live with. He resolved to inquire of the Lord, as the scriptures tell us. Then he proclaimed a fast for all Judah. Now, fasting is not talked a lot about here. When we say fast and we say food, we usually say fast food, which is a little different than fasting. Fasting is actually going without food. Some people fast and do not eat food for an entire day, and they spend that time in prayer and reading of the scriptures. Some just skip a meal. And some have even used that and skipping a meal and then making an offering of what that meal would have cost to some needy charity or ministry. He realized the picture was much bigger. And he wanted to say to God, we're all in to trust you. And we're going to make some sort of sacrifice in order to show that we're all in. The story of Job, when you have Job and goes to the people of Nineveh, it says the king of Nineveh then put sackcloth and ashes even on the animals and declared a fast and a repentance. For the whole nation to fast shows their willingness to sacrifice. Now, he just didn't call on them. Once he called for it, people started coming from all over to be able to observe the fast. It was not as if he forced them to do it. They chose because they realized what a precarious situation they were in. So the first thing we learn from Jehoshaphat is to talk to God about it. Don't try to solve it in our own strength. A second thing we learn is the people of Judah came together to seek help from the Lord. Indeed, they came from every town in Judah to seek him. Sometimes situations are so bad. The second principle is sometimes we need a prayer army. We need to have a group of people praying for us. Now, I grew up in a with a father who went through the Depression, and so the idea of you don't ask for help and you just kind of suffer in silence, that's not what's encouraged here. We need as many people as possible praying for us, because it takes a prayer army sometimes to be able to feel the strength that we need to face whatever it is we're facing. A person cannot have too many people praying for you and for the situation you happen to be in. Third, he acknowledged that God had the power to deal with the crisis that his people are facing. To acknowledge, God, you are the one who, as Chad said, created the universe. You are the one who rules over heaven. You have the power to fix this, and I acknowledge that. He acknowledges God has displayed that power time and time again, as he's reminded of the fact that they picked them up and brought them out of the Egyptian slavery, and that God brought them to the land of the Canaanites and cleared out the Canaanites so they could settle in the land of promise. That God had been faithful time and time again, and that he's asking for one more time that God would intervene. Then the last thing he does. Fourthly, he promises God that no matter what happens, he and his people will remain faithful to God. Even if it's not fixed the way we want it fixed, we're still going to stand at this temple and be able to honor you. This is what our dedication is. This is our promise. This is our pledge. This is our covenant. He basically said he and his people are willing to accept whatever outcome without losing their faith in God. That's hard to do in a difficult situation. We do ask that you come to our rescue, he says. But we keep our eyes on you, knowing that you and you alone have the power to overcome these invading armies. So we place our trust in you, because only you have the power to keep us alive. So what do we learn from Jehoshaphat? What lessons can we try to apply in our own life? Going back to the same four points. Talking to God about it. We have a tendency sometimes to only talk about big stuff with God. And we get in the habit of trying to fix our own stuff until we hit that one big event that we really can't cope with. If we get in the habit of talking to God about little stuff, then it's only natural we'll talk about the big stuff as well. And I think talking even about the little stuff allows us to develop more and more confidence in God. It's real easy to just have a pity party and feel sorry for myself. It's also real easy to get angry about the situation and lash out at everybody because you're frustrated. Some Christians do, some don't. Fasting doesn't have to mean going all day without skipping a meal. It could be giving up sweet tea for the day. I'm in trouble. Forget that I said that. But showing something to say, God, I am entrusting you and I'm making some sacrifice to be able to say how seriously I'm looking to you to be able to solve my problem. When we're facing a crisis, it is time to call out prayer warriors. We don't have Wednesday night prayer meetings just for the sake of having Wednesday night prayer meetings. It is to encourage people to pray for each and every name that's on our prayer list. And if people need prayer that are not on the list, please let us know so that we can add them to our prayer list. Because again, we go through them name by name. Again, we could suffer in silence, but why not ask people to pray for you? And pray for you and take your role as the body of Christ seriously. That's the idea behind church. It's not each individual then prays to God whenever they get stuck. The idea of the church is that I'm praying for other people and everybody else is praying for me. The idea of lifting up other people and focusing on other people's needs and praying for them. And in return, you get dozens and dozens of prayers for the storms that I happen to be going through. When we're facing a serious crisis of some kind, our tendencies to want to fix it or find some shortcut to be able to make it a little better. And sometimes that can work, but oftentimes just for the short term. At some point, we realize it's overwhelming, and we just can't face it without God's help. Sometimes we just have to admit, I need to give this to God, who has fought far more battles than I could ever possibly face in my lifetime. To trust in God to do what needs to be done once we are willing to get out of the way and allow God to move. And lastly, when we stop leaning on our own understanding and our own strength and our own wisdom, then we can embrace the future that God has for us. Asking for help should not be viewed as a sign of weakness, but asking God for help acknowledges God's power in the midst of our weakness. Imagine, if you will, a young lady has an opportunity to marry her high school sweetheart. You're ready to celebrate your first anniversary, and just around that time, your husband is diagnosed with a brain tumor. Imagine having to watch him be kept alive on a breathing machine, not sure whether he would live or not. You watch him go through multiple surgeries, experience severe life-threatening complications, having gone through several periods of extensive rehabilitation. Your husband's still alive, but he's troubled by vision and memory problems. He cannot work or drive, and you're in your 30s, as is he. You've supported him through surgery, radiation, complications, intense physical therapy. Finally, you decide you're going to write a song coming from your diary, recording all the things you experienced during this crisis. Laura Story wrote a song called Blessings from her diary as she sang about her struggles with her husband. And she writes, and the song comes to an end, what if the trials of this life, the rain, the storms, the hardest nights, are your mercies in disguise? And that's how she ends the song. But you probably want to know, what happened to Jehoshaphat? Well, if you skip on to verse 15, he said, listen, King Jehoshaphat, and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of the vast army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow march down against them. They will be climbing up by the pass of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the gorge at the desert of Urel. You will not have to fight this battle. Take up your positions. Stand firm and see the deliverance of the Lord will give you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Go out and face them tomorrow, and the Lord will be with you. And it goes on basically to say, by the time they're standing there, all they see are fallen soldiers as God went ahead of them. Shane and Shane has a song that says, why are you fighting the battle? Because the battle's already been won. And that's where we get ourselves. We're fighting battles as we fight crisis. But in reality, the greatest battle of all has already been won. And if you have Jesus Christ in your life, you are able to face anything because you have assurances not just for this life, but for eternity. So as we seek out God's life, may we learn from Jehoshaphat. Even though, I have to say, Jehoshaphat fell into the same trap, did the same thing again toward the end of his life. But we do need to seek out God because sometimes life is just too overwhelming, and we need that kind of help, and we need that kind of strength. And may we seek God and seek others to be able to face it together. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you help us, whatever crisis we may be facing right now, and maybe life-threatening, it may be just very stressful. I don't know all the situations, but you do. You already know our hearts. You know what we're struggling with. I pray this would be a day that we're willing to give those up to you, to be able to take seriously your ability to be able to take care of whatever situation we're facing. Lord, Jehoshaphat was not a perfect person. He made mistakes even after you blessed him. But we are sinners too, and we still make mistakes. But I think he did give us some ideas about how to be able to face a crisis. May we do it with you. May we do it as a church family, so that you would be able to bless and protect and watch and comfort all who are going through a crisis. For we offer this prayer as we offer our lives to you, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Would you stand as we sing our hymn of invitation, number 54, Great is Thy Faithfulness, 54.
Great is Thy faithfulness, O God, my Father. There is no shadows of turning with Thee. Thou changest not, Thy compassions they fail not. As Thou hast been, Thou forever will be. Great is Thy faithfulness, great is Thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, Thy hands hath provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to Thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Great is Thy faithfulness, great is Thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, Thy hand hath provided. Great is Thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.